PFT Media.
This is The Experience with Chris Feo. In each episode, Feo brings his unique and unashamed interview style to Central Florida. He conducts honest and open interviews with people that have the vocabulary and expertise that he lacks.
In this, the final episode of Season 1 of The Experience, I talk with the young lady who made it all possible. Without Marla E. championing both me and the idea of this podcast, The Experience with Chris Feo would not have come together. Marla E. is considered one of Orlando's best artists, and she is known for her big heart and warm smile. I am both honored and lucky to be able to call her my friend. Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Experience with Chris Feo. We're taking this interview to Stardust Cafe and Lounge. And today, I have a very special guest, Marla E. And I wanted to say, first off, thank you for starting my career off and convincing Boris to take me under his wing and start this podcast. And I wanted to end the season with you because I felt it would have been the right thing.
So. Chris, thank you for having me. And I just want to say, you are the one that started your career.
Well, thank you, Marla. But if it wasn't for you, like, putting the word out, though. If it wasn't for you, it wouldn't have started.
We had to poke him with a stick.
Oh, yeah. Many sticks have been poked. So how's your day been?
So far, so good. We're all trying to struggle through this pandemic with the craziness, but yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Oh, yes. At the time of this recording, it is Wednesday, September 23rd. We're still in the height of the COVID pandemic during this time, and we're taking all the proper precautions for this interview currently. And I will get to the first question. So, Marla, this is probably the most basic of questions every artist gets asked. Why did you decide to become an artist?
Well, actually, I don't think I decided. I think I just always, I was born an artist.
Yeah.
So, when I was growing up, my mother was an artist, and she probably had the most influence on me. So we were always drawing and coloring and sculpting, and my mom would take me and my brother to the beach, and she would sculpt in the sand. And then when we grew up in Connecticut, so when we had the snow on the ground, we would, you know, sculpt not just snowmen, but sculptures in the snow. And then as I was growing up, my mom was always, you know, painting and doing some form of art. So she would pay me and my brother like $1 or $5 to sit still for like a half hour so she could sculpt us. So
how much per hour did she pay you?
Yeah, it wasn't much, but
enough for a kid to sit
right.
still.
Enough to buy some crap later. So
yeah. So were you ever did she ever let you participate in any of her projects?
Well, she wasn't a professional artist, but she loved art. And so we were always doing something artsy. But then later, as we got, you know, the kids got older, she went into real estate. So, yeah, she wasn't actually, I think she just didn't have time to dedicate to painting because she was raising a family. So
right, that didn't her situation didn't affect your decision to pursue art in any way, did it?
I really just grew up loving art and always knew I would be an artist. So yeah, then when, you know, once you get into high school and they start kind of gearing you up towards having a career, then I was like, now what am I going to do? So I actually decided to go into commercial art because I thought that would be a good way and fun to make money. And I had an art teacher in high school, and he was like, you're not going to like commercial art.
What is commercial art exactly?
Well, I think commercial art, it could be many things, but basically you're not just sitting there painting. To me, commercial art means you're applying your art into the world and making a living. So people will hire you to do graphic design or maybe a, you know, some kind of, you know, to use commercially. Even just an illustration could be considered commercial if it's used in a certain way. So I did study commercial art and graphic design. So I did a lot of, you know, layout and design and album covers and, you know, logos for people. And I still do that to this day. That's one of the things I do.
Oh, wow. So how would you specifically describe your type of art or style?
I think my style is... well, it varies, and I know probably a lot of artists have a hard time saying what exactly their style is, but I do, probably known for my large abstract pieces and my sculptural pieces, but I also like to do realistic pieces, and even like with people, I try to be loose and draw them abstractly, and then my artistic training kicks in, so then I'm always trying to correct the abstractions and make them look more realistic. So it's kind of like a duality, so I'm just always struggling with abstract versus real.
So that kind of gives it a very a diversive blend,
yeah.
Almost.
And I think I have more of an impressionistic style, and also I spent my whole life trying to loosen up, so maybe I'm a little too loose. I don't know.
Hey, it's never wrong being with just going loose and being with the flow.
Right.
I don't think there's nothing wrong with
that. I love
that. And it brings me to another question. It's about an artist that we both know and have a really good relationship with, you more than me and most people. So tell me about your relationship with Harold Gard.
Well, Harold is, he is a giant amongst us with his art and his career and his lifespan. And it is so fun just seeing what he does and talking to him. And when Boris and I were lucky enough to get an interview with him for Kiss My Art, that's when I started, you know, kind of introducing him to the idea of, like, could we have a show? How big how large does the gallery have to be? And somehow we managed to get a show at Mills for him. And now we're about to have our second show with him coming up. But also, it was so much fun working with him and talking to him. And he has an opinion on everything, not just art, like everything in life. So I was like, you know what would be cool? We just should have like a show where Harold is interviewing other people. So.
And that brings me immediately to the next question. You and cinematographer Marva Welch are creating an explicit, actually not an explicit, but an exciting project, can be called explicit because you know Harold.
Yeah, never know what he's going to say.
Yeah. Can you tell us about this project?
Well, that's what we're working on now. So we're in the middle of filming. I think we have a couple episodes in the can. They're getting ready to be edited and all. And so we are actually, I'm producing the episodes with Marvin, and we just have Harold interviewing different people.
He had me on just a few weeks ago.
Just filmed that. That was so much fun. And really just to hear what comes out of these, because Harold, I want people to get to know who this man really is, because he is so much fun and insightful, and just his personality is crazy. It's great.
I know. He's seen almost 100 years on this planet. He's seen such changes, such movements. And
but he's so like with it, and
I know
he's not this old guy sitting on his laurels. He's like in the thick of it, you know.
I know he's still going at this age, which is fun. And I could imagine that's such a fun person to work with. Just me being around him for as little time as I've been, each time I've just been fed life by this person who's at what should be the end, but he's still going.
No, yep, I love that.
Oh yeah. And this was something I was going to ask you privately, but I'll ask it here. How do you deal with negativity and jealousy from your fellow artists?
You know, that's a good question, but I really don't feel like, I don't know, I think there's a lot of support. I think Orlando especially has a really good network, and I feel like artists are out to help each other. I mean, I'm sure there's some jealousy, but I don't feel it. I see, like, a lot of good. And really, I've been in this town a long time, and I've just seen nothing but growth in a positive way with with, you know, artists and venues and just things to do in general. And there's so many outlets. And I really think there's a lot of artists. And even like, I even heard somebody saying that Miami was jealous of us because we
really
have such a good support system and such a good artistic community.
The place that holds Art Basel is jealous of Orlando.
Yeah.
That says a lot.
Yeah.
That says a whole lot. And podcasting is something that I love to jump in and add to. It's a domain I feel comfortable in, and I noticed that the community in that domain is very tight and niched. And you were just expounding on that through the last question about the community, the art community in Orlando. Can you expound that upon that even further? How tightly niched are they?
Well, I think that, I don't know. I mean, art is my life, and I mostly have in my social media feeds, it's full of artists, and I just love seeing what everybody else is doing. And really, over the years, watching my artist friends grow individually and then coming together to help other people. And I mean, I don't have a lot of money, but I do have a lot of art. So for me, giving back to the community through art, and also art makes the fundraisers more interesting. And I just got done, for example, with Chairs for Charity.
Oh, yeah?
And there was several other artists. And because of COVID, we couldn't have our annual event. So we had an online auction, which was super fun. And I think it's really fun to, you know, just support each other and to support good causes. So I really, I love Orlando. And I think having a lot of artists just makes it more interesting.
Oh, it definitely does. It makes the whole culture of it boom, and it makes the town more lively to walk around, and
yeah,
it creates a better environment for people to enjoy. So we always need more artists here in Orlando, even though I believe the art scene is booming here.
It is,
personally.
And I mean, I know COVID has put a damper on things, and we're all trying to get back. I haven't actually been to an art show during this yet, but I know there's some coming up. I'm just going to wear my mask and try not to touch anything. And really, also, outside events are good because now the weather's starting to cool off, and so hopefully
fall season's coming.
That's the best time.
Exactly. Windy and cool. I couldn't do this interview without bringing up Boris. How is it working with Boris? And I've known Boris for a while, and I've heard a lot of criticisms about him and seen criticisms written about him. How does that affect you and your professional environment?
Well, I get along with Boris. I think Boris is fantastic. But I know a lot of people, he's so misunderstood. But I think the thing is, people don't realize what he says is so spot on. I mean, if you don't have the artist, you won't have the art. And so a lot of times he focuses on the artist, and I think that's a positive thing. But he is, he thinks for himself, and he's very controversial, but I like that. I like people who don't stick with the script, and they always do something, wild to get attention. And to me, that is the key to, I mean, I'm all into advertising, so
right,
that's what I love.
It hasn't affected you in any way?
Well, sometimes I have to, put him in his place because he just gets carried away. But I think basically he's really fun to work with, and he always has something interesting to say, and he has great ideas. So, if you don't know Boris, I think you should get to know him because he's there for the artists.
Exactly. He's there for the, when he says for the artist, I've heard him say that many times before. It's a transcendent term to me because he's there for the person. Because with me, we work on this podcast tirelessly, but he's more concerned about me, the person, than the actual product that's being produced.
I think he gets to the human element. And also, even when you go to the gallery, he will have like a psychologist analyze the artwork, and he takes people on tours and tries to get people to understand how this art came about and who the artist is and what's the psychology behind it. And so you actually, instead of going, oh, that's pretty, oh, that's ugly, you get to know the artist, and so it opens your eyes to, you know, how this came about. So instead of feeling like intimidated by art, then you get to know the art, and then you feel more comfortable with the art, and then ultimately you'll buy the art.
Yeah. Then that's the beauty of what he's doing, I believe. And it opens up the world of the art, because there is a whole world in every art piece, and I believe what he's doing is it's outside of the mold, but it's definitely a game changer. You know, it's a game changer. Tell me about Knuckles.
Well, Knuckles is the last dog I have left from my Ridgeback, which I call. He's a Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had my last pack of dogs was 3 Ridgebacks.
They're surprisingly friendly dogs.
Yes, they're super friendly. His brother, Bunsen, from the same litter, he passed away last year.
My condolences.
I know, it's so sad. And also Luma, who was a little bit older than both of them. And so and also the cat. The cat was a big part of it. Ike passed away. So it's just me and Knuckles now.
Oh. But
Knuckles is so super spoiled in his old age. And he's doing good. I give him glucosamine chews every morning. So he's still hanging in there at 12, which is very old for a large dog.
That is 12 for a large dog. I mean, that is old for a large dog. I said that is 12.
But he's always in my studio underfoot. And he likes to hang out when I'm painting and stuff.
So. Oh, he's your muse.
Yes, he
is. Oh, that is adorable.
I should post a picture of him.
That would be fun.
I'll send you a picture of him.
Okay, we'll have him associate. We'll post pictures with this podcast of him. And I hear you're getting your own Facebook show. It's called Art Is Everywhere.
Yes, so Art Is Everywhere, which is actually a tagline on my website. And actually how I believe. I just feel like art is everywhere. It's, you know, how you cut up your food and put it on the plate. It's in the tiny details of, you know, just it ties in with the commercial art and the graphic design. Your box of cereal. Everything is designed, laid out, your chair you're sitting in, everything. So
everything is art.
Art is everywhere and everything is art, yes.
I like that. And what made, like, with all that said, like, how did that idea come about, though? How did that, just you looking around and observing through everything that you've experienced?
And, well, yes, but also when I thought of having the show, I want to interview artists, and hopefully this will, once the pandemic's over, or we'll figure out a way to do it, you know, socially, safely, social distancing and wearing a mask or whatever we have to do, 6 feet apart, but to interview artists in their own element. There's nothing more fascinating to me than seeing behind the scenes for everything, how something was filmed, how something was painted, what's the thought process behind it, how things were designed. I love seeing like the initial thought process, like maybe on a bar napkin, a little sketch, and which also brings me to, you know, back around to what Boris always says, we're understanding the artist. But I know my artist friends and I also like to see what, you know, everybody's doing, and also to have like a show where I could kind of see what other artists, how they work, what their studios look like, and even what their palette looks like. I do a lot of teaching, at least I did before the pandemic, so I'm actually working on some online classes. I'm working on that, and I'm doing a little bit with the school I work with. One day a week, I always teach at a school for kids with learning disabilities, so that's been a lot of fun, but unfortunately, that's moved online for me. So I record a lot, but also before the pandemic, I did a lot of large groups of people, teaching large groups of people. And I love seeing their palettes when they're working. And even to the point where somebody would just have on a certain color shirt, and then I see they choose this palette of paint that matches their shirt. So maybe when you wake up in the morning, you're like, I feel like wearing red. Maybe that's what you want to paint with.
Maybe.
You want to paint with like some reds and oranges or some blues and greens. And then so I'm always photographing my students and how they're painting. So I'll have their painting and then their phone with like an image maybe they're using for reference, and then their palette. So I try to get the whole scene, not just the painting they're working on, but the palette and their materials that they're using to, you know, work with and study with. So
right.
I just think that's super interesting to me. Maybe it's boring to other people, but I'm hoping I can have a show where, you know, like I at least visit their studio and get some shots of them working, and then have them over in maybe an outdoor setting,
yeah.
Maybe in the easel garden, which I'm working on at my house. It's going to be a little area of my yard where we can have like little shows and maybe a dinner party. So
that sounds fun. I like that. And I like the name too, Easel Garden.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a great hit. A lot of people are very interested in how things work. How do you get to start up something? Because there's plenty amount of people who have ideas, but who don't know how to start at it.
Right.
Like just to really attack it. Because the idea can be very big.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to take the smaller steps to kind of like encompass that.
And even people that are, you know, full-blown artists, they still, I think there's a big step to getting started. And I think that is the key. If you can just get yourself started, then it snowballs, you know? But really, you're sitting there looking at, oh, there's the studio and there's that canvas I need to work on. And you just can't get in there to get. So I'll literally clean up my whole house, do all my laundry, put the dishes away. And it's almost, I think it's twofold. I think part of it is you're putting off getting started. And the other part is you want to get everything done and out of the way so you don't have any interruptions.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like a mental war between yourself just to get started. But then once
between you get, procrastination and proactivity.
Yes. And then once you do get started, then you're like, oh, I got to go to this podcast and I'm still in my studio painting. Oh, now I'm in trouble.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry.
I managed to.
Well, I know.
Get here.
Well, good. You did. And, you know, you're a wonderful woman who's of many talents, and you've actually got a hectic schedule from every time I talk to you.
I know. I just can't. I just seem to just get involved with everything. But I am really, I just want to take this moment to say that I'm super proud of you. I knew you had it in you just when we first met, when we were at our friend's
The Nook,
and Peter.
Peter Von Taborski.
Von Taborski. I always have trouble pronouncing that. It's a mouthful. But it was so funny just kind of hijacking his show when we were just having fun. And I was like, this guy is so cool.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. And I was just, when I was talking to you and Boris, it was just, there was a spark there that I was just kind of like, okay,
yep.
There's something there. I might as well see where it goes, because I've been through the ringer in the entertainment field a little bit.
Yeah, you already had like a little background in it.
And
then all your things kind of led up to this. So I'm really hoping it keeps going, because already, you know, you got second place with the award.
Yeah.
The podcast.
The Orlando Magazine, second in Orlando,
it.
Which I'm really thankful for. You know, it wouldn't have started without you discover me and, you know, talking me up to all your friends and Boris, and really just encircling yourselves around this project.
And, you know, when I listen to your podcast, you just have like an easygoing style. And I love your, you know, just it's almost like we're just sitting in the living room listening to a conversation, which I love.
Yeah, that's what I want. You know, the more relaxed that you feel, the better. And the more that, you know, the more information you're going to be, you know, comfortable to divulge, you know, and to really tell, because it's your story. And the only best way to tell a story is to be comfortable first before telling your story, because you're not going to tell a good story if you're uncomfortable. You're going to say anything.
Right. And also, I think just the way you put everybody at ease, because you're a people person.
Thank you.
And that's what counts, I think. Because bottom line is, people are going to remember how you made them feel.
Thank you. So. And people awfully remember how you, or not awfully, but they'll remember how you make them feel, though. You know, they, like, the things you do, how I see your pictures somewhere, you know, just around town at Maxine's or Disney. I see you all around. You have an effect on people. And this all brings me to my last question, the Fio question.
Okay. I'm ready.
All ego aside, why is Marla E. needed in Orlando?
Well, that's an interesting way to look at it. I need Orlando, but...
I know why.
I never really thought that Orlando needed me, but I hope they need me because I just want to be here and just make people realize their potentials and have fun. That's the bottom line, because life is hard, and a lot of people think I'm like a positive person, but actually, maybe I'm more of a realist, but I want to have fun every day. So if I can think of a fun way to do something or just get people involved, then I'll just go off on that tangent.
And that's the only tangent that I feel that you need to do, because it exudes out of you. It's something that you've been successful so far just doing that.
Somehow I just stumble around trying to have fun, and all this stuff, I just keep getting involved in things.
Well, it's the energy that you present, you know, you have that open, fun energy, like you said, that's, you know, you're willing to, you know, create art, you're willing to make something happen.
Right, and I hope that I can, you know, rub off on other people, so eventually we'll all just be one big happy family.
As I've heard before and seen written before about you, you have your finger on the button of creativity in this town.
Well, art is everywhere, right?
It is. And with that, Marla E., thank you for being on this episode of The Experience.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome. And I look forward to talking to everyone again soon.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. Just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. Just you and me. There's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. There's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. Just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. Just you and me. There's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me.
A PFT Media production.